Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in the extra hour is Pat, and we're just talking about Israel. We're talking about, my goodness, listen, don't panic. Don't get bent out of shape when you just, you know, you hear rumors of wars and attacks, and especially in the Middle East. Listen, this has been going on for a very long,
for thousands of years,
long time. I do want to say that I stand corrected. It is not 9 miles wide at its widest point. It is 9 miles wide. Talking about Israel at its narrowest point. Thank you, Pat.
No problem.
Very good.
So how wide is it?
Keeps it straight. Why don't you tell us?
It's 71 miles wide.
71 miles wide. Thank you, Pat. But even that, you think 71 miles? I mean, that's nothing.
No.
I mean, it's no space. I thought 9 miles sounded a little short, but it's nothing. It's nothing. So how do you protect that when you're completely surrounded by your enemies?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've been to Israel. You've been to Israel. I mean, you're walking through Israel, and literally, you're like, oh, there's Lebanon. There's a gate right across. Oh, there's Lebanon, and there's the guy with the gun.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you can literally, if you had a grenade or something, you can actually throw a rock right over into another place just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. But listen, mm-hmm. it's not for us to be bent out of shape or worried. It's just for us to pray and stand with Israel. I mean, it's just for us to stay vigilant and alert. And listen, know at the end, God wins. At the end, listen, Israel remains, you know.
That's
kingdoms
right.
Come, kingdoms go. But you want to make sure that you're on the right side of truth and that you're standing with God in the end and not on the other side. That's a very sad, sad feeling when you realize that you're on the wrong side of the equation.
That's all right.
And I don't know about you. I want to be wherever God is. God, just pick the place and I'm there. And with that, we can have great peace and assurance that everything's going to be okay. No fretting. Well, I did want to share that, you know, sometimes things don't always work out the way you always expected them to work out. I know that maybe you might have had everything figured out. But a big question sometimes that people have is why? Why do bad things happen to good people?
Mm.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, you hear that.
Yeah.
And Galatians 6:7 says, you know, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So, you know, the Bible is true. I mean, maybe you're just seeing bad things in your life because maybe some of the bad decisions and choices that you've made, you're kind of experiencing what you've been sowing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's two equations. There's bad things that happen to good people, but sometimes they're just bad things happen because you've been sowing bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're reaping what you've been sowing. I mean, listen, you can't get away from your harvest. It's just, it's a harvest.
Yeah.
But what you can do is start repenting and start sowing some good seeds.
Right.
And watch good, you know, happen in your life. But we really want to aim and really just want to think about and just open up a conversation about why does that happen? What's the purpose behind all of this when you mm-hmm. see bad things? I mean, if you don't want to see certain consequences in your life, you really got to start changing those type of decisions. But there's an idea. Oftentimes there's an idea that circulates in the hearts and minds of many believers that's just simply not right. I mean, somehow we just kind of got this, you know, it just entered our mind and our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought goes something like this, you know, now that I am a believer, or because I've chosen to make Jesus the Lord of my life, and because I abide, things should go perfectly for me, and I shouldn't have to suffer bad things in life, because I'm in love with God, and He's in love with me, And that settles it.
That sounds familiar.
I sang that song. That settles it. I'm in love with God and he's in love with me. This is who I am and that's who I be. That settles it. God has my back, you know, and I'm not against him. I'm for him. So everything from this moment forward is just going to be peachy. Right. But where does that idea come from? It's like, okay. But it doesn't mean that bad things sometimes won't happen to good people. I mean, listen, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulations. You will have trouble. Mm-hmm. But cheer up, because I have overcome the world. I mean, listen, when you give your life to the Lord, he doesn't promise you a peachy life. He doesn't promise you a life that doesn't have problems and circumstances and trials and troubles. It's not promised anywhere.
Right.
In fact, Jesus plainly tells you that, listen, in this life, you're going to have them. You're going to have many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But cheer up, because I've overcome the world. Listen, you can go through anything if you choose to go through it with God. And you start looking back in the Bible, and we start looking back for context, and we look at those who have gone before us, and to look at some of the trials and tribulations that they've been through,
mm-hmm.
and what they had to go through. I mean, think about Jacob. I mean, Jacob was lied to by his father-in-law, completely deceived. I believe he worked 7 years for the wrong wife.
Mm.
I mean, if anything constitutes, you know, a bad thing happening to you, it's like,
man.
Now I'm here working on this property here for you for 7 years, mm. only to be tricked, only to be, you know, deceived. I mean. And talking about sowing seeds, I mean, Jacob, you know, Jacob sowed some seeds of deceit. And what did he do? Reap a harvest of deceit.
He sure did.
You know, the player got played. You know, the trickster got tricked. And note to self here, commercial, you can't play God. You can't trick God. You know what I'm saying? God will always have the last word.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, he winds up having to work another 7 years for the wife and the woman that he really wanted. And he wound up being just deceived, betrayed, just messed up, you know. But hey, if you sow certain things, don't be surprised if you reap certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of an example of what we talked about in the beginning about, hey, God can't be mocked.
Right.
You know, you will reap what you sow. And it's almost a lot like your wake. About with what Dr. Cloud speaks about. Henry
right.
Cloud, who wrote a book, Integrity, The Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality. Excellent book. And in his book, he talks about the wake of a boat. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you're in a boat and you're sailing, or you're ripping through the ocean or the water, the
mm-hmm.
lake, you may be in the body of water. If you look behind the boat, there's what is called a wake. And it's basically two sides of a water. You know, two sides of the water shows that you kind of are piercing through the water.
Right.
And it leaves two dividing lines, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And your life is a lot like that. And as you're going through your life and going through relationships and places and people and organizations, that you leave a wake. You leave basically a trail behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And the wake doesn't lie.
Right.
The wake doesn't lie. And in his book, he talks that the wake has to deal with one side is about relationships and how you treat others, and the other side has to do with tasks and how you complete those.
Right.
And how do you show up? You know, this question people need to ask themselves sometimes, how do I arrive? Everyone has a perception about how they arrive in a certain place, at a workplace, or maybe amongst the church gathering. But your perception of how you arrive and how you actually arrive are two different things. And the wake doesn't lie. The wake is what it is. This is your harvest. This is what you have in your life as you're passing through. And God's not going to be mocked. It is what it is. You're going to reap what you sow. But the important thing to realize that no matter the trials, and maybe you might have done this to yourself, and maybe, you know, you're reaping some bad, you know, harvest because of the seeds you've sown, you can always repent. You can always cry out to God. You can always ask for mercy, and maybe this harvest could be stopped in your life, and you can begin to start doing the right thing. And so, you know, Jacob is a good example of, listen, you know, this can come back. You know, this will come back. God can't be mocked. You will reap what you sow.
Right.
But I think about Joseph in Genesis, and you think about, listen, Joseph was just a happy son. You know, God gave him a dream. You know what I'm saying? His daddy hooked him up with a coat, you know, many colors. Mm-hmm. You know, Joseph was the man. He was cool. And God had a plan for his life, and God told him, gave him a dream. But Joseph wasn't popular. He wasn't popular amongst his brothers. I mean, so much so, they had something against him. They were jealous. They sold him into slavery and had no problem lying to their father that, you know, an animal ate him up, and they went through this whole plan. Throw some blood on his coat and everything, and it's like, really? And you got to think about Joseph as he's sitting there in the pit thinking, why did this happen to me? You know, I tried to do what my dad told me to do. I got the coat, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, my dad loves me, and, you know, his father did love him, you know, quite a bit. And yet he's thrown into a pit, thrown into a slavery. He's rejected by his own family members. Think about it. Your own family members reject you. And then he works as a servant for Potiphar. There he is working for Potiphar as a servant. You know, now he's doing his deal. He's faithful at doing what God's, you know, has before him, I guess. You know, he's like, well, I guess I'm a servant for Potiphar.
Mm-hmm.
And then Potiphar's wife, the boss's wife, tries to seduce him and get him. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you think Joseph's like, I wish this woman leave me alone? You know, imagine the conversation Joseph is having with God. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my goodness. You know, why did you allow this to happen to me? You know, he says, you see, I've worked with integrity for my boss. You know, eventually she lies, you know, by the way, she lies. She says that he, you know, basically took advantage of her. He gets thrown in jail. You can imagine the dialogue that Joseph is having. And I was like, God, you gave me this. It all started with this dream.
Yeah.
I get thrown into a pit. I get rejected by my brothers. I get sold into slavery. I'm Potiphar's servant. His wife is trying, of all the guys up in this place, she's trying to seduce me, get me all, you know, messed up. You know, I've walked, Lord, you saw this. She walked into a room and I walk right out of it. You know, she comes to another room and I walk right. Then the one day that she corners me, the one day that I couldn't escape, she go ahead and lies on me. And here I am in prison. Who's going to believe me? I'm just a servant slave boy that I have no home. I haven't seen my family. God, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? And oftentimes people, you know, judge a circumstance by the first act. They don't know that God is doing something. God has a plan. He's writing a story. Listen, act two is coming. You're just in the first act.
Right.
You're just in the first act. So he's in this dungeon, in another pit, and then the story goes on and on and on here. But on the surface, on face value, things didn't look good. You know, they didn't look good for him. But God was doing something. And when bad things happen to us, we can first ask the Lord, you know, did I bring this upon myself? You know, sometimes you can ask yourself, hey, I'm going through a bad situation. You know, am I reaping some seeds? You know, I'm harvesting for my seeds. So a good thing to say is, God, you know, did I cause this to happen? And if not, then you can understand that you can trust God, even though the circumstances don't look good. You searched your heart, you've prayed, and you say, God, you know, and you have a peace in your heart that this was not because of anything that you've sown.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, God, you know what? I trust you. I trust you. And God is at work. God is at work, and he's writing your story. Now, he's allowing you to have some processes in life. It's allowing some situations to take root. But stay low, be dependent on him, and hold on, because the second act is coming. You're just in the first act. He's writing the story. You got to trust him now. So what happens? Joseph eventually, he goes from the pit to the palace and becomes the second highest man in all of Egypt. I mean, think about it. And he wound up just remaining faithful to the Lord, and God just took care of the whole situation. I mean, there's a whole lot that happened. There's a whole lot of many years. We want to kind of rehash all of that for you. But what we want to encourage you is that in the second act, he went from a man that was rejected, had no place, you know, that he can call his own home. He had no family. Even he finally works himself into a job, and his boss's wife lies to him, gets thrown in a pit. He rises to the ranks and helps people out, and they even lie on, you know, they forget about him, and it's like, oh my goodness. But nobody knew that Joseph was in process. You know, that was just act one of God's plan. God had act two in store for him. You can't judge what's happening in your life by the first act. God's doing something.
Right.
And God doesn't waste a trial. He doesn't waste a bad situation. God was working process in Joseph's life.
Mm-hmm.
He was maturing him and getting him ready for what? To be the second highest man in all of Egypt.
Wow.
In all of Egypt. Listen, God has act two coming. Think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, a man who was born, think about this, a man who was born with destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, born in Jesus' family. I mean, he's Jesus' cousin. He was raised with special instructions by God from the very moment, before he was even born. He was leaping in his mother's belly when he heard Mary's voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about a divine destiny for someone's life. He lived a fasted lifestyle, only ate locusts and honey. I mean, this guy was a prophet of old, coming in the spirit of Elijah.
Mm.
He's baptizing people in water for repentance, prepare the way of the Lord. This is John the Baptist's ministry. He had the pleasure of preparing the way of the Lord, and he himself, he preached repentance. And he had the honor of baptizing Jesus and spoke the truth to power.
Mm.
I mean, John the Baptist was the man.
That's
what I'm saying? He had it going on. But what was his reward? His reward on this earth was his head was chopped and put on a plate.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. And you think, oh, what happened? What happened here? How could this happen to John the Baptist?
Mm.
How can this happen to John? He was a man that lived for God,
mm-hmm.
a prophet of old. His life had destiny. And his head?
Mm.
His head gets chopped off and put on a plate? Listen, you can't live life by, you can't measure your life by what's happening on you know, surface value here. In the natural, it doesn't look good. But we've become so convinced that what we see happening in the natural realm, what we see happening right now is the real story. We don't understand that there's a story behind the story. We don't understand that God is at work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John the Baptist had the gift of martyrdom. He had the gift of laying it all out for God, and it cost him his life. And let me tell you something, he will receive a great reward in heaven. God had a plan. This was no defeat. This was a great honor that's still serving us today. Today we're still being ministered to by the life of John the Baptist. And listen, it's not about this life, it's about the life to come. When we come back from the break, we're going to share more about, listen, how we need to take things in perspective, how we need to understand that God is writing the story, and there's always an act two, there's always an act three. Don't look at act one and think, oh no, it's all over, it's all said and done. God is still writing the story.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You wish there was one easy way to improve your marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Patricia Ashley with one suggestion.
When you give your husband true compliments, and when you say true positive things to him about him, it is like putting water on a plant. I know what I'm talking about. Do you all hear me? Even if they reject it, even if they act like it didn't move them, believe me, if you walk out the room and peek back at them, they like it.
Well, we all like to receive compliments, don't we? Especially from our spouse. So give your husband or wife some words of affirmation today. You'll be glad you did. For more ways to strengthen your relationship, stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Oh, my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know, I have.
Oh, man, such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat. And we're talking about sometimes why bad things happen to good people. And I want to say right from the start that, you know, God is not he doesn't do bad things to us. You know, not every bad thing that happens is because God's sending us bad things. You know, God allows things to happen, but he's not the initiator. But you can't blame all your problems on God or God's doing something to you.
Right.
And sometimes what you consider to be a bad thing is actually not a bad thing, but a good thing. Like, you know, a discipline, you may have a wrong perspective on discipline, and you may see it as a bad thing, But actually, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's important that we just don't put a dump here on God and say, oh, everything that I perceive to be bad mm-hmm. or every bad thing is from God. But God does allow some bad things to happen. And the thing about it is that, listen, he already told us that in this life you will have troubles and tribulations, but cheer up, I have overcome the world. And no one promised any believer, no one promised anyone, and you know, God didn't promise in his word that you would have a life free from troubles, free from trials, free from heartaches. But what he did promise is that he has overcome the world, and if you are with him, that you can be an overcomer. He's called to be more than a conqueror in mm-hmm. Christ Jesus. But it's your relationship with him that's going to help you to endure to the end. And we talked about some of the people in the Bible that have gone through great trials and tribulations, but it was only the first act of their life. It was only the first scene. And oftentimes we can go through situations and we're thinking, why in the world is this happening to me now?
Hmm.
Why is this happening? I mean, I've tried my best. I'm fasting now. I'm praying more than I ever prayed. This doesn't fit my grid. Hold on. Don't panic. It's just act one.
Mm.
Listen, God wants to show himself strong to you. But you got to hang in there. You got to trust him. You got to stay faithful. You got to stay steady. You can't go, you know, be tossed back and forth. But you got to say, you know what? I'm staying with God. And he's going to see me through this. And I'm going to have a testimony, not just the monies, because I'm willing to go through the test. I'm willing mm-hmm. to go through the fire and not be burned.
Right.
I think about the Apostle Paul. I'm just some observations. But you look at the great Apostle Paul. This is a man who had an amazing encounter with God. Knocked off of his donkey. I mean, mm-hmm. just an amazing encounter with him that just literally changed his world upside down and made him a lover of God, a worker for God. And his ministry is still, I mean, we're still being ministered by the Apostle Paul. But this was a man who was literally flogged. This was a man who was beaten. This was a man that was stoned. This was a man who was shipwrecked as he was on his ministry trip to share the good news. He was deserted. He was arrested. He was put in chains. This is a man who was in prison. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine?
Right.
Can you imagine?
I'm sure his flesh wasn't tingling either during all this.
I would imagine not. I mean, God brings, you know, on the cover of the Jerusalem Post there, arrested. The you know, Apostle Paul here is arrested. Hmm. You can imagine.
Once again.
Yeah, once again. And you can imagine the conversation. Like, Paul, this is not good for the ministry. This is, you're on the cover of the Jerusalem Post. This is not going to advance the kingdom right now. I mean, I know that, you know, you've just left the Pharisees. I know that you come from the tribe of Benjamin. But, dude, I mean, this is not going well. I mean, we had to bandage you up the last time and explain the bruises on your face. You know, the mugshot that we sent them that you were coming, you know, doesn't look good with all those scratches and bruises. We've had to tell them that you have a prison ministry as well. I mean, we had to tell them something because you're being arrested.
That's right.
And then there's these people that everywhere you go, there's a riot. I mean, you know, we know about the love of God, but there's just a riot everywhere you go. Things get stirred up. What? This is not good. If you're looking at it face value. You think about Paul saying, Lord, you know, you know, I'm just, you know, imagining, you know, mm-hmm. imagining, you know, work with me here. But I'm just thinking, can you imagine a conversation that Paul's having with the Lord, you know? God, I'm trying to go from city to city. You know, I've got Ephesus on my mind. I got Corinth on my mind. I got Asia Minor on my mind. You know, I know that you're stirring me up. You've given me the Macedonia call. The guy's calling me out in the vision. I'm ready to go. But these shipwrecks, you know, what's going on? And then this prison. See, I did not schedule this prison encounter. That was not part of the mission trip. That was right. Not part of this.
It wasn't on my itinerary.
It wasn't on my itinerary. Because I'm trying to advance the kingdom. You know, I mean, Paul's like, I only got X amount of time left on this earth. I've given so much of my time to these Pharisees, and that was going anywhere. You know, I've seen the light. I've made Jesus Lord, and I'm giving it all. But this detour in the prison, this is not working out. This was not part of it. But that was just Act 1. And you think about, I mean, how Paul could have been attacked and thinking, I've seen what God's done in my life. I've seen the ministry advance. We go from city to city. The devil is terrified of what God is doing. There's great signs and wonder. There's power happening. There's disciples being left. There's churches that are being planted. And I'm sitting in prison? I'm sitting in, who's going to hear? Obviously, he had a teaching gift. Who's gonna hear the word of God? What's gonna happen? He could have been thinking that, but that's just Act 1. See, Paul maybe could have thought that what I was going to do to advance the kingdom had to be me keep going from city to city, but he didn't realize that God was gonna allow that situation, that prison experience in his life, to touch him, to empower him by the unction of the Holy Ghost to write the prison epistles that are by far and have been advancing the kingdom of God more than maybe any trip that he was scheduled to go on. And so it's like, oh my goodness, the context is always at the end of a situation or the end of a trial that you get to realize, oh, I see maybe why I went through that, and I see how that pain worked out, and had I not gone through that trial, that tribulation in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. And God, you were in control of that whole situation all along. And oh my goodness, it was just Act 1. Maybe you're in Act 1 right now. Maybe you're going through a trial and tribulation. It's like, this is not what I perceived. This was not what I thought. But you're going through it. Listen, be encouraged. If you're abiding and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, he will lead you and direct you through it. And that trial, that tribulation will be redeemed. Nothing gets wasted in the kingdom. Let me tell you, God won't waste any situation. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. I mean, Paul wound up being used so powerfully that would, in the natural mind, how would that make sense? We would say in our natural mind, we're to keep Paul out there, send him an army, because he's doing some good work, and everywhere he goes, this guy is tearing it up for the Lord, and churches are being planted, disciples are being won, and signs and wonders are following. Let me tell you, this is God. Keep him out on the circuit. Don't bring him back, you know. Give him a battalion of soldiers, and God had other plans. God had other plans. I mean, in prison, he's testifying to King Agrippa. In prison, he's testifying to Governor Felix, you know, and Festus. I mean, he's speaking truth to power everywhere he goes. And he wishes, King Agrippa, that you are as I am, except for these chains. And he's like, he doesn't stop. And, you know, a lot of times trials and tribulations will come in your life, and you can make a choice. You can let that trial, that tribulation, that setback stop you from advancing the kingdom of God. Or you can say like Paul, and you can look at King Agrippa and say, King Agrippa, I wish you were like me except for these chains. You can keep pressing on. You can keep advancing the kingdom of God no matter what, and you will come through it on the other side. I mean, let's look at another example. How about Jesus? Jesus was born to die from the moment he was conceived. I mean, Jesus, who was fully God, fully man. I mean, think about it. He left his deity. I like to say this is maybe not the best analogy, but You know, he put down his Superman cape to walk maybe as Clark Kent. You know what I mean? He laid down his deity and said, I'm going to do this in the strength of the Holy Spirit. He's the Son of God. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And yet some of the people that he came to, they rejected him. He was ferociously attacked by the Pharisees. I mean, they were trying to throw him out from city to city. If they could have gotten away with hurting him and killing him earlier, who knows, if they probably would have tried. I mean, they've tried pushing him over a cliff and he walked past it one account.
Mm-hmm.
And just when things were getting good for Jesus, I mean, just when his ministry was expanding and there was a following and there was a large group of people that were coming, I mean, there's signs, there's wonders, there's feeding of the 5,000, there's eyeballs being, you know, people are being able to see, there's lepers that are being cleansed, there's a woman with the issue of blood is being healed, I mean, demons are being casted out. I mean, Jesus is doing it. He's the faithful Son. He did nothing that wasn't outside of the will of the Father. He was completely obedient. He oozed love. He did only what he saw his Father doing. He sought the Lord, the Father God, early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing it.
Mm.
And just when he throws out some real meat, I mean, he shares that, you know, he gives it to him. A bunch of the disciples start walking off.
Mm.
They said, this is a hard teaching. We don't know if we can hang with you right now. Let me think about that. Let me get back with you on that one.
You had me with it till you started talking about eating your flesh and stuff.
You're getting deep with that. I don't know if I can.
Drinking your blood? What?
This teaching. And they leave him. They leave Jesus. And then on top of that, I mean, you got 12 disciples. You know what I'm saying? You're pouring out your life to them. You've heard God. You've selected them. You know what I'm saying? You've prayed all night and you came back with some. I mean, God spoke to you. Mm-hmm. The Father spoke to you and you have some disciples. And yet one of them betrays you. Can you imagine? I mean, Jesus himself had a betrayer in his own midst. And then here Jesus is trying to fulfill the will of the Father. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the hour that he needs the disciples to stand with him, he's about to drink this cup. And he's saying, Lord, if not my will, your will be done. But listen, there's a way that this can happen without me drinking this cup. You know, I could be cool, but nonetheless, you know what I'm saying? I'll drink it. You know, I'm here to please you. And they couldn't even hang with him. They couldn't hang with Jesus. And in the hour that he needs them, he's all alone. He's in agony. He's sweating. Drops like blood, not blood, like blood. And he's being abandoned while he sees one of his disciples. Is that Judas coming with those people with knives? It's like, are you for real? It's like, are you this serious? But that was just part of, that was all part of it. It's all part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Jesus, what looked like a defeat in man's eyes was a great victory in the Lord's eyes. I mean, Jesus died on the cross by choice. And you can't go any lower than Jesus, but you can't go any higher than him either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess on earth, under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, Father God was in control the entire time, even when he's on the cross. Even when he's on the cross and he's calling out, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, you know, he's like, oh my, you know. And God, the Father, for the first time, has to turn away from the Son. And you think, why is this happening? Listen, it's all part of the plan. It was all part of his plan. God had a bigger plan in store. Father God, the Father, had a bigger plan in store. And you can't look at what's happening in your life or anyone else's life, and you just can't. People are so quick to just put a label on it and just say, listen, I don't know why this is happening. You know, you may know, you may not know. But one thing that you need to know, one thing that you can be 100% confident in is knowing that, listen, God is with you if he's your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. That God can and will deliver you. That God will use what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn for good. And that he will see you through the whole situation, that no matter what it is, that this is just the first act. Act two is coming. He's writing a story. He's writing it out for you. And your story is different than someone else's story, and their story is different from another person's story. The Bible says that those who compare themselves by themselves are not wise. Act two is coming, but you got to hold on. You got to hold on. And you got to stand strong. And you got to say, Lord, no matter what, I can get through this. I can get through this. I can make it because I trust you. And so many things in life, so many people's plans, you know, God had this great thing to pull somebody through, but you gave up during that time. You blamed somebody else, maybe. You got stuck in a depression. You started looking and magnifying the problem instead of magnifying God. And you allowed the trial and the tribulation to shut you down, you know, instead of allowing it to propel you into the next place, into the next season of your life and in your ministry. And I think that so many times we have an unrealistic expectation of life. You know, you have the whole dreamy concept of what it's supposed to be. And it's like, listen, who said that? Where did you find that? All you need is God. All you need is God. You understand that your life is not in the enemy's hands. Your life is not in your own hands. Your life is in God's hands, and with that, you can have great peace. He will see you through. Well, you know, I was thinking about this not too long ago, and I was encouraged. I know that we've been talking some time about getting fit and enjoying some recreation and getting back in shape. And, you know, sometimes you get stuck in a paradigm, you know, a pattern of thinking where you think, you know, I can, maybe I'm getting older, I can't do those certain things anymore, and maybe I can't be as active as I used to be. And you just kind of go with the flow and go with a mindset that's maybe what's popular to other people. And it kind of limits you. And I just came across an article and some news about this gentleman. I mean, obviously we think about people working out, we think about young people, and we think about people being active. But there's a guy by the name of Jim Hurd, who at 81 years old, Pat, 81 mm-hmm. years old, is still, he's running. He's a sprinter. And he competes amongst other men in their 70s in these events. Uh-huh. He has ribbons, he has medals. I mean, he's 81 years old. And we're not talking walking. He's actually, and we're not talking like a marathon, a jog.
Right.
A sprint. You know, I mean, sprint is like an explosive race. You're down on kind of, you know, on your hands and you know, real low. When that gun fires, you're supposed to be just bolt out of the box. You're supposed to just, with an explosion, make a mad dash.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this 81-year-old man who's just shattering at least my paradigms of working out and how fit you can be. And it's just an example. I mean, just think about Jim. I mean, it's a great example for working out, but it's such a great example for so many things in life where maybe you've had a mindset that, well, you know, because most people don't do that, then, you know, I need to stay within the box. You know, the box only says that you could only do, you know, this thing. And what was cool about Jim is that he wasn't always a runner. He wasn't always a sprinter. Believe it or not, he started running and doing the sprints when he was in his 60s. He started, his coworker kind of figured out, he stopped hanging out and they asked him, what do you do? And he's like, well, I haven't told my family this yet, but I'm actually training for the sprinting competition. He was inspired by someone out on the West Coast who was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want to do this. I want to try it at 60. I want to encourage you that maybe you can be like a gym. Maybe it's working out. Maybe you've said, I'm too overweight or I'm too old or, my body hurts too much and I can't do those things. I can't run anymore like I used to. Those are for young people. I'm past my prime. Well, let me tell you, gym totally shattered that paradigm. But maybe it's something else. Maybe you thought that, I've done, all that I can do for the Lord and this is all I can and, I'm just happy to do X, Y, Z. Let me tell you, you can take that paradigm off. You can go into a whole new direction in your life, and you can say, listen, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You can change the world if you can just change your mind. And it's amazing how patterns of thinkings and thoughts can either propel you into your destiny or it can lock you into a doom and gloom situation where you can't see your way out. Your best thinking has actually got you to the place that you're in today. And so you can just change your mind. Oftentimes, and I hope we can get to this more in this hour, but the power of thoughts and where thoughts can take us to. Oftentimes thoughts are like seeds and they actually produce, bad seeds, bad thoughts produce a bad harvest, but good thoughts produce a great harvest. And I was actually having this conversation with my sons, and I said, what would happen to a child who is in school? And subconsciously, they have a thought that maybe they're not smart enough or that they're dumb, that they don't know anything. What are some behaviors, some actions or inactions that young person would have, how would they act out in their classroom? So they gave me some examples. Oh, he would, he or she would be scared or, they wouldn't want to mess up. But the truth is that if a person, young or old, let's say, who's learning in an educational environment, for example, has a mindset, has thoughts in their, running through their mind that they're dumb, that they're not smart, those thoughts are operating in the background of their mind. Listen, do you think that child's ever going to raise their hand to answer a question? Do you think that student's ever going to raise their hand to volunteer and answer in public? Do you think that person's going to, get up there and solve that mathematical equation if they think that in their mind that they can't? And it's so important to recognize that thoughts always produce something. And so I'm amazed at how many times people try to live in a autopilot type of environment but not realizing that there's a thought processes that are occurring every day in their mind. There's thoughts that saying I can, there's certain thoughts that saying that I can't. And if we can deal with our thoughts, where the Bible says to take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. I mean, when you think about taking every thought captive, there's a role that every person has to play. I can't get in your mind and you can't get in my mind. And oftentimes people are struggling with the fact that I just can't control what's in their head. No, you can't. Mm. Everyone has to control their guardian of their own heart. The Bible says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life. It is the fountain of your life. And if you have toxic, stinking thinking, you're going to have toxic harvest. You're going to have a toxic result in your life. We can actually change our thoughts. Oftentimes, I like to say you can change it like you change a channel on a television screen with the remote. You just kind of just change it, and you can think on good things. In fact, that's what the Bible tells us to do. It says whatever's excellent, whatever's trustworthy, whatever's wonderful, think on these things. And that's the beginning of being able to redirect or refocus your thought process and refocus everything that's going on in your life. Because let me tell you something. Today can be the time that you make the choice to say, you know what? I don't like the fruit that I'm living in. I don't like what's happening in my life. I don't like the harvest. When you can decide today to say, you know what? I'm going to change how I've been thinking about maybe this situation about my family, maybe change the situation, what's running in your mind about your career, maybe about your health, you know, your fitness. You can begin to start filling yourself with faith-filled thoughts and declarations of what you want to see manifest in your life. You can never go and do anything that's opposite of what you've been thinking about. I mean, we all know that in the natural, but how many times have we been trying to think about or thinking that we're going to do something that's completely contrary to the thoughts that we've been having in our mind? You know, I'm going to get a job. Meanwhile, you've been thinking thoughts that there are no jobs around there. There are no jobs. But you're not going to get a job. You're fooling yourself. Or, you know, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be in a lean, mean. I'm going to, you know, lose all this weight. But in reality, you constantly have thoughts in your mind that I'm not going to lose this weight. You know, I can't stop eating. This is not going to happen. It's never going to be a reality in your life if you don't change your thoughts, if you don't change the seeds that you've been sowing in your mind. Or, you know, if you have thoughts in your mind that God doesn't love you, if you have thoughts in your mind that God's not for you, if you have thoughts in your mind that God is rejecting you, then you're never, ever going to experience His love the way you can. Because those thoughts are going to limit your actions. They're going to limit what you do. And that's why we need to be encouraged every day to take our thoughts captive. You know, I like to the analogy that I like to use a lot oftentimes is that, you know, maybe there's a conveyor belt that's running through your mind. And all of a sudden there's a thought that comes there, you know. Not every thought that enters your mind is from you. God can drop a thought in, you know, for you. But so can the enemy. And if it doesn't line up with God or His word, you can take that thought that's going on that conveyor belt and literally snatch it down. Just go ahead and pull it down and make it obedient to Christ. And you can replace that bad thought with a good thought. Thoughts that say you can't, and you replace it with thoughts that say you can. And I'm telling you that if you change your thinking, you will see a different harvest in your life. You will see different things occur in your life that will just literally change your world. But it all begins with what are you going to allow to run in your mind. You have to be disciplined in that area. Otherwise, you'll start reaping all sorts of different things because you just allowed your mind to run wild. It's the wild, wild west. You have to give yourself parameters. There's certain things that you can't focus on, and there's certain things that you can. You know, it reminds me of when I was talking with my sons about baseball when they were playing, you know, and I was coaching there on their baseball team. You know, they had some boys that went up to bat, and I mean, they're taking their bat and they're hitting home plate, and they're ready. They're going to crush something. Right, I mean, it doesn't matter what the pitcher's throwing in their mind, they're getting a base hit. And they're going to get on base. I mean, it's just, you can just see the energy and the intensity. And then you have some other boys that maybe they haven't played much or, you know, it's their first year and they're, you can see every thought. I mean, you can literally see in their actions and their body language their thoughts because they're like, I don't know if I'm going to hit. They ask questions like, how many outs is it, coach? Because they don't want to make the last out, you know, or they're looking at the pitcher and they're saying things like, oh, he's throwing so fast. Oh, my goodness, watch his arm. You know, oh, those guys are so big over there. Mm-hmm. Those are all fearful type statements. And they're out of the overflow of the heart. The mouth speaks. All of those things are literally just been flooding in their heart. And so when they get up there, they strike out. You know, they don't do well. And then they wonder why they're not getting a hit. They're not making contact. But because they defeated themselves in their own mind. It's impossible to move outside of what you've been thinking. You know, and it's not always goes to the swift or to the most talented. It goes to the person who thinks they can, who has faith to believe. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this other young boy on one of their teams. He didn't have the most prettiest swing. You know, they talk about different people's baseball swings, and Jackie Robinson has such a beautiful swing, and this person just looks so nice when they're up at bat. I mean, you could just know that if they ever make contact, that ball is hitting out of the ballpark. Well, this young boy, he didn't have the prettiest stance or the nicest swing, but what he did have was faith, and he did have excellent thoughts in his mind. I mean, in his mind, and he'd tell you, I'm going to get a hit. And it didn't look pretty, but he sure got on base.
Wow.
And he wasn't the fastest guy, but he sure hustled. And more often than not, a person, I mean, he didn't have natural talents. And, you know, some people have natural gifts. They just start doing something, you know, and they just flow. He didn't have the natural gifts, but what he did have was a great command of his thoughts and his belief on what he was able to do. And he did it. But the same could be true of you. You know, you can say, listen, I'm tired of this toxic thinking. I'm tired of the results I've been getting. And I want to believe God. I want to move in the area of faith. I want to move in the area of believing and thinking that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That I can, that I'm the head and not the tail. And if God is for me, who can be against me? You know, and greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. And that I am important because God loves me and he died for me. You know, and that, you know, all things are possible for those who believe. And God said, call things that are not as though they were. You know, and if one can send 1,000 a flight, two can send 10,000 a flight. And I can do this. I can, me and God are a majority and we can take the land. That's a whole different mindset. Those are all different thoughts than, you know, oh my goodness, it's Monday. Oh my goodness, it's Tuesday. I woke up today, you know, and I have yesterday was a bad day, and I'm sure today's going to be worse. You know, that's not going to go well. But I'll tell you that if we allow our thoughts to line up with the Word of God, and we allow the Word of God to just stay within our spirit, within our heart, we will begin to see the manifestation of God's word. You know, Joshua says, do not let this book of the law depart from my mouth, your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you will be successful in all that you do. We have to meditate and spend time with God.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.